According to the 2010 U.S. Census, the South Bronx was the poorest congressional district in the nation, with more than a quarter of a million people living below the poverty line. Over half of the South Bronx youth are living in poverty, and nearly 40% of the area's residents don't have reliable access to healthy food. Bronx native Stephen Ritz, the founder of Green Bronx Machine and a top 10 finalist for the 2015 Global Teacher Prize, is trying to improve on that through the public school system by teaching students how to farm right in their own backyards. He writes about his 30-year mission in a memoir called The Power of the Plant, A Teacher's Odyssey to Grow Healthy Minds in Schools. It's published by Rodale Books. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, and thanks for having me. I'm just excited to be here and such a fan.
What is the Green Bronx Machine?
Green Bronx Machine is an impact-driven, for-purpose organization that resides in the South Bronx, and we grow vegetables, but our vegetables grow students, schools, resilient communities, and as I like to say, 50,000 pounds of vegetables later, our favorite crop is organically grown citizens, graduates, members of the middle class, kids who are going to college and eating their way to good health and high academic performance.
And there's also the National Health, Wellness, and Learning Center?
That's correct.
What do you do there?
At the National Health, Wellness, and Learning Center, we grow food. And we also grow students. So four stories up in the middle of the largest stretch of public housing in a 100-year-old building, we grow food 365 days a year.
Is there much arable land available? How do you grow land in an urban setting?
On the fourth floor of a public schoolhouse, there is no arable land. And that's why we're using 21st century technology. We proudly use Tower Garden technology. And I like to say we are innovating, iterating, and ideating ourselves into a whole new economy and a whole new paradigm of success and opportunities for children, which is the most important thing.
So you're growing all of this food indoors?
Indoors. Well, we have an outdoor farm as well, but we grow food four stories up in a 100-year-old school building using 90% less water and 90% less space, 365 days a year, including today.
And this is at CS 55?
This is at Community School 55 in the heart of the South Bronx.
What grades does that cover?
We go from pre-K to grades 5.
So
I got happy, healthy little farmers. They're awesome sauce.
You also encourage participation from the surrounding community. How many people have gotten involved?
Well, through the years, I like to see, you know, we've moved targeted attendance with high school students from 40% to 93%. We've had 100% graduation rate. Most importantly, in a community that has underemployment and chronic unemployment, we've partnered to about 2,200 local jobs. But we also have a 6-acre community garden in the North Bronx, which generates thousands of pounds of food per year and hosts veterans, community members. It's part of our Food for Others area. You can learn about it on the Green Bronx Machine website. Please check it out. And please get a copy of the book. All the proceeds are supporting public education.
Also gardened on rooftops and parks?
We have gardened
wherever you can.
Anywhere and everywhere, yes.
Do the adults bring special experience to what you're doing? Years ago, we had some kids who were raising chickens, and they felt like they were part of a tradition because their parents and grandparents had raised chickens back in the old country, which is probably Haiti or Cuba in their cases.
Well, you're touching on a perfect point because we have one of the largest immigrant communities in New York City. In fact, we have the largest West African population outside of West Africa within 8 square blocks of the school. So these are parents who understand what fresh food is, came to this country in search of it, and remarkably wound up in a community where there's limited means and limited access to it. So the fact that we can grow it 365 days a year with their children in school and send it home, we're sending home 100 bags of groceries a week.
Didn't this start as an after-school high school program?
It started as an after-school
high school program. So how did it wind up in elementary school?
Well, what happened is I kind of had an epiphany. I don't know if you know that I used to be over 300 pounds myself. So I was
really? You were very slim.
I am very slim now. I like to say I'm half the person but twice the man. But while working with high school students, I was eating what was available in the community. And that sadly ballooned me to over 300 pounds. Poor choices, poor health. And I had this epiphany that it is just easier to raise healthy children than fix broken men. And decided after appearing on a Disney special and Michael Pollan's In Defense of Food that all this media notoriety. Imagine starting children on a happy, healthier trajectory at the youngest age possible. Because if kids grow kale, they eat it. And starting them eating it at a younger age just made perfect sense to me. And aligning it to Common Core and academic standards just seemed like the right thing to do.
You were encouraged by the bureaucracy at the Board of Ed?
Well, I will tell you that I'm a huge fan of Carmen Farina. And I think public education is getting better, and that's why, again, I'm dedicating the proceeds from this book to support public education. But it's been a slow, incremental fight, and thank God for the wisdom of Principal Luis Torres and the support of Superintendent Leticia Rosario, Deputy Chancellor Linda Curtis Bay, and Nancy Wood. So I'm getting the support I need. There's not a job for me in the DOE because no one ever figured out doing this. So the fact that I'm kind of in new space and new deep water is both challenging and exciting at the same time. But we're making tremendous strides in the data. Most importantly, the data is proving that there is efficacy and solid pedagogy behind this. So I'm blessed to be doing the work that I'm doing.
You mentioned the Common Core curriculum. Is this compatible with the Common Core curriculum, and are you one of the people who thinks that Common Core is good?
Well, so let's take that question by question. I believe that, first of all, student health is tantamount to everything because children will never be well-read if they're not well-fed. So in communities like the one I work, getting children the essential vitamins and minerals they need to fuel their bodies and their minds is absolutely critical. But if you can grow food indoors, the art and science of growing food, aligned to content area instruction, the statistics, the probability, the ratio, the proportion, that becomes tantamount to their academic success, and they love it. And again, I have kids running around pollinating plants. They get to be the bee. I like to say we've got 99 problems in the South Bronx, but growing fresh food in school aligned to content area instruction is no longer one.
Do the kids resist at first?
The kids love it. Understand. Both the joy of putting a seed in a child's hand and promising them that that seed will be a plant, and what happens day by day inside a classroom is awesome sauce. But the sad reality is many students are coming to school now more than ever hungry. So when in an age where obesity is the new face of hunger and the rest are stunted, shunted, and in pain, neither side of that coin is acceptable to me. And the power of a plant allows us to assuage those issues and grow something greater.
Kids are notoriously resistant to eating vegetables, but I imagine when they've grown the vegetables, they're much more likely to want to eat it.
When children grow it, they eat it, and that is so true. They take such pride in what they're doing. And again, we're redefining the way we do it. So we have soil gardens outside, because I love soil, but the fact that we're doing it indoors and no sneakers and school uniforms are getting dirty, and we have children who are reading to plants and sitting to plants and testing water and testing pH and testing electroconductivity, all those critical science and 21st century skills that actually align to 21st century career and college opportunity are awesome.
My guest is Stephen Ritz, the founder of Green Bronx Machine. He's written, with the help of Susie Boss, The Power of a Plant, A Teacher's Odyssey to Grow Healthy Minds and Schools. It is published by Rodale. How did you get into teaching in the first place? Didn't you start off as a special ed teacher?
Well, how I got into teaching in the first place was sheer happen chance. You know, I'm still waiting for the Knicks to call me. So I'm available. This may be the last season I'm out there.
They may need you, considering what happened last season.
Exactly. So I'm available, but I got into teaching wholly by mistake. Started in 1984 at South Bronx High School at a very turbulent time in both the Board of Ed history and New York City history, and just had a knack for dealing with children, because children don't know how much you care until they know how much you care. And my job is to love children until they learn to love themselves. So I was always able to connect with children and move those who are apart from success to becoming a part of it. And the work continued to evolve. And eventually, I myself learned about a plant. But 10 years ago, I couldn't tell you 10 kinds of fruits and vegetables. Now I grow 37 kinds of fruits, vegetables, and herbs indoors with kids.
You say one of the turning points was when some daffodils broke up a fight in your class in 2004. What happened?
Oh, What an amazing story. So 2004, I took a job at Walton High School after some tragedy in my own life. I just wanted to pick a job that was physically as close to my home as possible to circle the wagons around my family. Did no research, just said, wow, this school has a vacancy. I can walk here. I'm in. Only to walk into a school that had a 17% graduation rate, 256 felonies, 48 school safety agents, and 18 armed police officers in the building. Not really a prescriptive atmosphere for success. And I inherited 17 children who were overage and undercredited and was really struggling with them. And they told me, teach science. And okay, I'll go and teach science. Why not? And we're sitting there in class one day, and one day on my prep period, I get a buzz from the principal secretary, Mr. It's come to the office. And I'm like, oh God, am I in trouble? But I go running down to the principal's office. She's like, Mr. Ritz, you've got a gift. And instantly my eyes light up. I'm so excited, like a kid on Christmas. And I open this huge box right in front of the principal's secretary, only to see onions. I was so disappointed, as the kids would say, WTF. I was like, what is this? I wanted microscopes. I wanted computers. I thought this was Christmas. This was just sheer hell. And dejectedly, I picked up the box, put it on my shoulders, carried it back to class, and threw it behind a radiator, one of those tall radiators behind the window, and forgot about it, literally. About 6 weeks later, there's an incident in class where this really big, tall, tough girl has had enough. And this little kid, Gonzalo, is teasing her. And she just pops out of her seat and goes running across the classroom. And at this point, I'm thinking, my career is over. This is it. And all of a sudden, Gonzalo goes running under the radiator and sticking his hand under the radiator. I'm like, this is really the end. He's grabbing a weapon, you know, like in my mind, a million things. And all of a sudden, he pulls out a flower. And I didn't even know what kind of flower it was. And here's this skinny, nerdy kid waving a flower at this 200-pound charging girl with tattoos and piercings who's ready to kill him. The whole class erupts in laughter. And then the box, because it was so moist, hundreds of flowers started falling out into the middle of the classroom, and that was really a WTF moment in the South Bronx, but I like to say that's also a teachable moment in the South Bronx. And the boys wanted to give the flowers to the girls, and the girls wanted to take them home. So we figured we should look inside the box and read the directions, and lo and behold, they were daffodils from New Yorkers for Parks. And that year, my students and I planted 15 or 20,000 bulbs across New York City to commemorate 9/11. And that was the birth of literally a whole green movement in schools.
And that was just 13 years ago. And now you're even partnering with groups in places as far away as Dubai?
That is correct. We have gone with Tower Garden from being in no schools to about 5,000 schools in the United States. 2 weeks ago, I hosted the Global Teacher Prize winner. And thanks to our friends Loyalty One in Canada, we're replicating my classroom in the Arctic tundra, so she can grow food 365 days a year. I'm partnering with Sustainable City in Dubai with ESOL Schools, and I'm so proud of my partnership with KHDA to think that we've had teachers and students from 60 countries and 6 continents come to the South Bronx to see what we are doing. It's proof that the Bronx can change attitudes now, and we are determined to grow something greater, and that's what we highlighted in our favorite book.
It's often been called a food desert, but you call it a food swamp.
Yeah, I resent that term of food desert because the desert is an ecosystem. And, you know, things that are in the desert survive. So I think that there is a lack of healthy options in the South Bronx for a lot of reasons. But in many ways, it's a food swamp. There's just a plethora of bad choices. Everything is a mess, a manufactured edible synthetic substance that is designed to take the health, wealth, and opportunity from this community and transport it elsewhere and leave death and disease in its wake. So I think it's a food swamp, not a food desert.
Governor Andrew Cuomo recently announced a $25 million initiative intended to combat poverty in New York State, including the South Bronx. Do you expect to receive any of that money?
I don't expect to receive a dime. And, you know, that's quite okay, because in a community that has traditionally been apart from the table, we are teaching children to make their own, set their own, and grow something greater.
What advice would you give to someone who's inspired by what you've done and would like to do something similar in a similar area?
Well, what I would advise anybody to do is please check out our website, Green Bronx Machine, see the work that we do on Facebook. But
is your TEDx speech available online?
There are quite a few talks of ours online. I'm really proud of a new NPR special called Growing a Greener World with Joe Lampell, which really shows us in depth what a week in the life of our school looks like. So as opposed to a snapshot or a quick TED talk, which is great, I'm really proud of Growing a Greener World with Joe Lampell. I'm also really proud of the new Chan Zuckerberg documentary called The Power of a Plant, which is also on the Green Bronx Machine website. But for all teachers, I recommend start small, begin with the end in mind, speak with your principal, do what you feel compelled to do within the context of your day job. Because I would love, for me, the most important thing is that my school is a happy, healthy, high-performing school, and kids are eating their vegetables along the way.
It hasn't hurt you. You've met Oprah, Bill Clinton, the Pope.
Yeah, from hope to the Pope. That's our South Bronx story, I like to say.
How did you meet the Pope?
I was invited to meet His Holiness simply because of the work that I was doing with the Global Teacher Prize and the Varkey Foundation, and realized the work that we are doing in the South Bronx around food justice, around environmental issues, around connecting disconnected youth to positive experiences in school speaks to this Pope's mission. And he is, as I like to say, the people's Pope.
Well, one of the complaints that people have had is that farmers markets and the like are quite expensive. Really good food is expensive. This is a way of getting around it?
Well, first of all, I think poor health is far more expensive. When you look at the pharmaceutical industry, when you look at the fact that, the Bronx is ranked 62 in health outcomes, people's lives are at stake, and the 1% is paying for it as well. But when you grow your own food and you do it in school, the cost-benefit analysis is amazing. Realize just last year we had a 45% increase in state passing rates on tests.
And are your graduates then growing food after they leave the school?
My graduates are working for places like Whole Foods. We highlighted in the book A Power of the Plant. They're working for places like Fresh Direct. They are growing healthy, living healthy. They've become homeowners. This book really highlights many children as well as my own. It gives a lot of prescriptive advice as well.
And the book is called The Power of a Plant, A Teacher's Odyssey to Grow Healthy Minds in Schools, published by Rodale. Stephen Ritz, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you, and si se puede, grow something great and make epic happen.